What is an e-book doesn't actually appear on my first slide, ladies and gentlemen, but anyway, I'll sort of get onto that a little bit later. My name is James McFarlane. I'm the chief exec of Easy Press Technology, a company that's been around 12 years, producing essentially content into originally web format for magazines and newspapers. And we built our first e-book just over 4.5 years ago, basically at the start of this process. And today we process thousands of them, as you'll hear a little bit later on, through a cloud-based system that we have up in the internet, which is actually sort of able to process books pretty much instantly. I am actually going to wave around my tablet and my smartphone, because clearly this is one of the ways in which things are going, so apologies to Steve. But I want to really start a little bit by asking a question. Anybody have a birthday basically at the beginning of last month? Beginning of April? No? Yes. Well done. You're 1 year old. Well, you're not 1 year old, but basically you would have been if you had essentially been an iPad. This is actually one of the first 5,000 produced by Apple. Sadly, I threw away the box, so I don't think my grandchildren will actually be coming and putting it up on Antiques Roadshow in the years to come. But it is already obsolete. iPad 2 is here. Sony are bringing out S1, S2s basically later this year. This market is moving at a phenomenal rate. And I'm going to sort of talk a little bit this morning about some of the challenges that actually publishers face. Now, I know this is rather a mixed audience, but I'd like to know, any authors in the audience this morning?
What?
Sad. One. Well, actually, this is probably good news for you. But we're going to look a little bit sort of making money out of eBooks. I do this basically in America a lot, so there's lots of dollar signs everywhere. And we're really sort of going to go and have a look at what the sort of challenges that are facing publishers in, first of all, getting the point that Steve made, is there isn't enough content actually out there. Now, the first question is there actually going to be any money in this process? This is a graph that's actually published by the IDPF. You've already mentioned there, the sort of industry watchdog on the EPUB standard. This is updated roughly quarterly. It's a little bit of old. But last quarter, $150 million, that's net sales revenue, was actually made by just 13 publishers in the USA. So we actually have seen that the e-book phenomena is beginning to take off. Amazon pretty much have already told us that their net revenue, or their gross revenues, will be through $1 billion this year in terms of e-books. They represent something like 60 or 70% of the marketplace today. So we can already sort of assume that ebook sales are up around about $1.5 billion, which sounds great. In fact, if you look at the end of the curve, it's sort of moving into that sort of hockey stick territory. Slightly held back by the fact that there's something called sort of launches of iPad sales and so on. But the interesting thing about that is we really are just starting out. The book publishing market's a $43 billion marketplace. There's something like 3 million books produced each year, 1.2 million of those are in English language. They consume 43 million tons of wood pulp, 22 million barrels of oil. It's a big business. It's not going to go away tomorrow, or indeed even in the next 5 years. But I think most publishers are looking to actually be able to put out somewhere around about 50% of their content in ebook format within the next 5 years. So this hockey stick is going to continue. And the challenges really are producing books at a price that everyone can afford. And that's basically because the publishing market, like every other industry, is under tremendous price pressures. Only 10% of authors actually make any money out of writing books. 90% basically do it for love. I'm going to talk a little bit about sort of those challenges. I'm going to start basically with what is an ebook. An ebook is an EPUB file. An EPUB file, basically, as Steve has already said, is a reflowable book that will go on any device. There are two basic formats in the world. There's the EPUB format, which is reflowable, which will go on my smartphone, or will go on my iPad, or any one of the other 43 tablet devices that are already out in the marketplace. And then there's the Amazon Kindle device, which also can be used from EPUB as a matter of interest, which is locked into the Amazon Kindle model. And EPUB really is, think of it like sort of creating a house. You know, you can design a house, you can design a book. Essentially, the EPUB format can be molded, if you like, into any particular design. But it is created itself from XML. For those of you who don't know, XML basically is really tiny, tiny sort of web-formatted bits of content which are tagged in a way which actually tell us something. So if I have a word, basically, and it's bolded, I've got a start tag and an end tag, and something that tells me essentially that word is actually bolded. And the very best XML in the world, we found, comes from the typeset software, which actually lays out the books. Now, how many books are we talking about? Google tells us there's 129 million books in the world. About 40 million of those are addressable electronically in terms of PDFs or InDesign or Quark or indeed even Word, although Word has some special challenges in creating EPUBs. About 93% of all books published today are actually published in Adobe InDesign or Quark Express. And the very best XML actually comes from those two formats. That isn't going to change. That's $20 billion worth of software that's been purchased over the last 10 or 15 years, and that's not going to disappear overnight either, mainly because the publishers basically are already using it. They've integrated it into their workflow processes, and essentially it's there. So what we've done basically is build our software on top of these platforms to be able to create EPUBs really fast. And I'm talking about, in less than 2 or 3 minutes, that sort of thing. So we can take a 200-page fiction book, put it through in about 30 seconds. We can take an 800-page academic book and put that through in about a minute and a half. And we have software, basically, which will actually, I'll talk a little bit later, right at the end, in terms of actually how it does that. Now, an EPUB is a standard. The publishing industry created it. It will fairly soon, I'm sure, become an ISO standard. And therefore, it's going to be used by everybody. And all EPUB files are equal. Well, we've actually found that some are more equal than others. And what we find that basically the EPUBs need to change from device to device. So if you're a publisher, producing your own eBooks has some challenges. We know that there are how many devices? 59, 79. There'll be probably 100, and then they'll end up being 4 or 5. That's the way the market always goes. But all of those devices have little specific tweaks that you have to actually do to your EPUB file to actually sort of be able to produce it. So it's a very frustrating process. How many people here have actually built their own ebook? Two, three. Did you enjoy it? No, you didn't. It is a very time-consuming, quite laborious job, fairly programmer-intensive. I know that because we've written 2 million lines of code to be able to try and do it automatically. And it is not much fun. And yet you've got 3 million books being produced every year. So Amazon today, with sort of 800,000 or 900,000 books in their catalogue, really have only scratched the surface. They actually can't even keep up with the current production run that actually is coming to the marketplace. So part of what publishers are going to have to struggle with is how do you automate it, and how do you automate it quickly? How do you embed stuff quickly into what goes on? And feature-rich EPUBs are all about what EPUB 3 is. This is only a year old. Well, the EPUB standard that it was actually based on for this particular book I've got, which is a dummy series book from John Wiley, is actually not much older than that. It's maybe 2 years old. So we are really at the first generation. 5 years from now, we'll look back on this and say, you know, how do we ever live without it? And be assured, what's going to happen is going to change everything. It's going to change the way, we've already heard, you learn. It's going to change the way you consume information. I don't personally read my e-ink in bed myself. Mine would have been on the toilet. I think that probably been a really good one. But, you know, it is going to change the way we do it. And we will carry around libraries of books. And we will have them basically grouped together, much the same way as we carry around, or certainly our children carry around, thousands of music files in their iPhones and on their iPods. So rich media and the way EPUB is a standard is going to develop a long way. So let's look at things in terms of creating a reader experience. And I'm literally talking about how production companies need to actually think around some of this stuff. When you set out a book and you start laying out and typesetting a book, and this is important for the one author who probably writes their stuff in Word as a manuscript, you need to apply styling. You need to be able to call a title, an author, an author. You know, you've got copyright, you've got dedications, you've got chapters, and you then got the body text. And the question you asked is, why don't we see a lot of academic text, basically, already in ebook format, because it's bloody hard. You've got highly complex books, certainly hundreds in some cases, of styles, sidebars, left bars, sidebars, footnotes, endnotes, all plugged in, and it takes a lot of processing to be able to actually pull those into being something that looks marginally like what we call a how-to book. Bear in mind, 83% of all books are how-to books, 17% of all books are fiction. Where the market is today is in the fiction marketplace. Where it will be tomorrow is in the how-to books. And we'll leave children's books and art books to the end because they're still too tough. And the standards aren't there to support them anyway. So you need to be willing to compromise on layout and format. We, you know, this particular device, love it, hate it, whatever you like, supports just 6 fonts. So if you come up and you've got this wonderful font with a sort of kerning in place that you've actually created for your book, and you lovingly, because you're a master craftsman in actually building academic books, put it together, trust me, it won't work. The first thing it'll do is it'll approximate your font to something it can support. So fonts on books are very limited. Any font that costs money, and you probably don't know that as you're writing your stuff because most things are free, somebody will come along and charge you for it. So you're again limited by what you can actually put in your ebooks in terms of how you do that. That said, many companies are actually taking the leap. So John Wiley and the Dummy Series have their own font. They purchased it. It goes in every book. Whether you can display it in that format depends on what the device can do and how you can actually get there. Always style the entire book. You know, the number of times basically that we get a book and it's beautifully styled right the way through all the chapters, and we get to the end of the book and, ooh, that glossary I meant to do, just put it in rather quickly, forgot to style that. Or indeed, very often the title and the author are missed off the book altogether and they're just down something like basic paragraph text in InDesign. So styling the book all the way through, why is that? Because we use the styling to be able to create the ebooks really fast. Think about the books themselves. One big book. My daughter is at a medical college, not at UCL, but not too far away, and she takes books in this size. Now, she's that size, so, and you know, she can carry one book to one lecture a day. You know, the reality is with ebooks, we're going to have to think completely differently. We're going to be taking books, particularly how-to books, and we're going to be dividing them up by chapter. You will choose the chapter you want to take with you to the lecture you're going to go to. You'll choose the chapters you want for a morning. Publishers need to wake up and think about this and sell it. You know, there's no good taking out a £115 medical book, which, by the way, is £115 because there's a lot in it, there's not very many printed. And by the way, students do need to make a return on their investment by selling it. So what you'll be doing, basically, is dropping the cost of the e-book, but you'll be selling it in much smaller chunks. And chunking is definitely a way that the market's going to go. Because why? Producing an e-book is very cheap. Very cheap. The minimum cost run for producing a print book in fiction, 200 pages, is about $7,500. The minimum cost run for producing the same book as an e-book is about $250. So the dynamics of producing e-books is going to change dramatically. So where's the author? Okay. For every one of you, there's 40 who aren't in print today. Interestingly enough. So the big market, the future market, one of the future markets is going to be authors going directly to print themselves, which is a really big challenge for people like libraries. And we'll think about that a little bit later on. Your books are going to get more interactive. Now, I'm not a great believer at the moment in terms of massive amounts of video being stuffed into a book. All you end up with is a very large ebook. And trust me, nobody wants to sit and download a gigabyte ebook from the file, apart from the fact you'll need BitTorrent technology to do it, to actually ensure it actually downloads. And I don't think Mr. Amazon, or indeed Mr. Sony, will actually want to support a file size that large. So interactivity doesn't necessarily mean just video and audio. It's going to be a whole raft of other things. You know, the ability we've already built into some of our clients' software, the ability to be able to take a reference link and go out to Library of Congress or go out to the Harvard Review Library to be able to actually look up that link and so on. So that's the way, you know, interactivity is actually going to go. So this is a real thing for publishers. Don't produce ebooks just because you've got the print book. I can guarantee you, if it didn't work well as a print book in terms of the number of copies sold, and by the way, something that bombs is where you print 3,300 books, sell 300, and pulp 3,000, it ain't going to sell well as an ebook. You know, the market dynamics in ebooks, although they're going to change, basically won't, you know, disappear in terms of how book publishing works and so on. So look at the books that you want to actually produce as ebooks and go to town on those. So what's selling well now? Blockbusters. Every publisher in the world has a blockbuster. Some of them are just bigger than others. But certainly, you know, your leading titles will sell well as ebooks, and particularly in North America. The old, the curious, the out of print. I'm really old, so how many here remember an author called Dennis Wheatley? There's some old authors. Excellent. Good. Well, you know, the good news is, you know, the Roger Brooks series, you know, the Shout at the Devil, these sorts of things, they're going to come back. Why? Because they've been out of print just long enough that the cost of them buying them on eBay has risen to 250 quid if you want to actually buy a pristine copy of these. So, you know, putting these things back into print, you know, basically for people, old fogies like me, is great, because essentially we're going to be able to relive all the ones I threw away, you know, sort of, you know, 30 or 40 years ago when my mother cleared out my room and off to university. So, you know, this is what is going to happen in terms of, you know, what's going to sell well. Cookbooks are selling really well at the moment. Now, that's a very interesting thing. You know, lots of cookbooks going on, and, you know, the thought of something propped up in the corner while you're trying to make spag bol more exciting is really quite interesting, if not somewhat hazardous. But books with an equivalent web prison. We did a book for ECW Press on Cyrus Millie, you know, which is somebody you probably don't know too much about, but certainly she's a big thing in the States. When they ghostwrite a book for her, where they have sort of 12 people walking around with her for 12 months, and then they do the, you know, the sort of Cyrus Millie story. And basically that's linked to the website, and there's lots of links basically out of the book for that. They sell really well. They sold about 2.5 million copies. And what was the target audience? 14 to 16. What was the target market for devices? Laptop. You know, that's the sort of thing that's actually sort of meaning. But bear in mind, 50% of all books are still read on laptops, even today, even though they're going to be, there are, you know, probably 100 million devices that can read books in the market absolutely at the moment. Marketing has become a real issue. You know, I'm standing basically at Waterloo looking at you know, something on the other side of the tube. I can't even remember the name of the book. Somebody's new sort of bestseller being up. That is just going to disappear. That is really going to disappear with ebooks. You know, the traditional way you market a book is dead, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It's all going to be done through viral marketing. Online book clubs are coming back. The book club, the Saturday morning book club, is coming back. You know, John Wiley wants us to build into their book a link which will allow you to go out of the book to a book club where you can actually Twitter and Facebook and all that other good stuff, which I don't do, basically, you know, from the book. They also have another link which says, would you like another dummy that looks like this one? Because we can sell you one of those as well. So, you know, this whole market is going to change dramatically. We've been doing some work with Cambridge University looking at the way that you can be looking at a book, reading it on your iPad, and down the side you get another suggested series of links from other books come popping up. And as you change the page, the links change based on the information you're reading in front of you. Because, you know, they have actually a computer the size of a small house behind them actually doing most of the crunching work. But you'll be able to actually, as you turn the page, looking at different thematic stories on the page, other things will be suggested. Now, all of that basically is next generation or generation after type stuff. Price is an interesting point. Today, actually, interesting enough, a year ago I said, well, the price is whatever you pay for the print book, you'll pay for the ebook. Since the wonderful addition of 20% VAT on ebooks, actually ebooks by and large at the moment are actually more expensive than print books. But in the States and in certain European countries, people are trying to break that model. You know, they're looking at books being, ebooks particularly, being sold at a much lower price. But they're doing it differently. So new authors you're a famous author, sir, but the lady sitting next to you is a new author. She'll come to market basically with an ebook first, not a print book, and she'll be selling them maybe for $1.99. You know, I know a Dutch publisher who's experimenting with the fact that the first 500 people who download the book get it for free, but they're encouraged to actually write a review. When they write the review, the next 500 basic will pay a euro. And what will happen, the book then will actually rise in the market in terms of value to actually reach its own commercial value, based on downloads, based on reviews, based on social internet chat around the actual title itself. And that's going to actually change, I think, how we actually do things quite dramatically. Not here yet. Apologies for any publishers that are here. That's going to change things for you as well. So you're going to have to rethink some of your strategies in terms of that. I've missed one thing. One of the biggest markets at the moment in terms of what's hot is backlist. 3 million books published every year, but there's those 30 or 40 million books out there that are addressable basically in the space. And what a lot of people are actually doing are taking a new author, maybe it's, I'm just trying to think, the one who's actually just done it, doesn't matter. But anyway, taking a new author's book and then bundling together back books basically with that, giving an all-up price really for buying 4 or 5 books in a go. And that's for the holiday marketplace. And the right reason for that is because we go to the airport in the holiday season, we tend to buy 3 or 4 books. You think about every time you get on an aeroplane, how many new books are coming on with you in terms of weight. It's unbelievable. So that's one of those things that actually people are actually going to be trying to do. Okay, another big thing, 5 things for the publishers in terms of how to think differently about the ebook space. E-publishing, the ability to create ebooks very fast, is disintermediating the marketplace. And you need to think differently about the entire supply chain. You need to think differently, and that's again, it's happening in the States, about how authors are treated. Margaret Atwood basically said at a seminar just recently at the Tools of Change, she said that, authors need cheese sandwiches, because that's the standard fare for an author. And with only 10% of authors actually making any money, and even that, only 8 to 12 pence in the pound actually goes to the author out of the retail price of a book, what we're going to see is authors skipping the publishing channel and actually going direct. And I've already got a number of authors that we're actually acting on who are basically skipping the channel. Another thing, there's accidental publishers. University Press, perhaps to a certain extent, is an accidental publisher. They started off life basically as universities. They have ended up basically as publishers of university type work. So, being able to look at people like Disney. If anyone's been to Walt Disney in the States, you can buy the official guide. Now, Disney isn't a publisher. They run theme parks but they actually do sell a lot of books. They're using e-books to come to this side of the world, and actually you're allowed to buy the theme park book before you get on the aircraft to actually go to Disneyland in Orlando. It's not actually available, funny enough, in the park over there. You have to buy the print book because they can actually scale the print book in terms of actually how they go. So the supply chain basically for shipping books from author right the way through to e-retailer like Amazon is becoming very broken. And essentially how that bit's put back together is going to be technology-based, I think, around ebook hubs and things like that. Time to storefront is currently in weeks and months. 40% of all books, I don't know if you know, they're published on one day of the year. Anybody know what day it is? Last year it was the 8th of October in this country. It was around about the 28th of August in the States. Why? Because of Christmas. So you think of Penguin, 13,000 books, 5,400 books published on one day. Logistical nightmare. Those books basically are published and printed where? In China. So the time to market is actually measured by, not by the speed, but it's by the time it takes for a boat to actually travel at 12 knots from Hong Kong all the way to London. That's what determines it. That's too long. It's too long. So ebooks are going to be basically there in minutes. So that will present its own problems to the supply chain. And publishers are taking control of the supply chain. Most of the American publishers I'm working with are looking at getting their ebook to market in less than 48 hours and would like to do it faster, because time is money. If I can get out there with something, then I can actually get more money quickly. So we're going to be looking basically at, you know, the way the world works, the way the world works with partners like Sony and so on, who are actually sort of knocking down the doors for it. These guys are spending billions. So, you know, you could benefit from them spending billions, so Google and all the others as well, on this type of technology. You know, and it's embracing it is going to be the important thing. So how do we do things? Well, what we do basically is we have a two-stage process. What we do is we scan the book, not for the content, but actually for the styling. And we have a very clever, semi-intelligent mapping system that can actually look through an InDesign or a Quark file, all the styling information there, and automatically map that to an intermediate XML format, which is incredibly rich. We can actually identify the geometry of the page. We can actually identify the relative position of a sidebar to the main body of the text, so you can actually sort of work out where things are, can be placed on the page. We then crunch that into an EPUB format, and then we have a tool, really, not necessarily the engine here, called a Metamorphos tool, which actually then reconstructs the book from the constituent elements. So one of the things we're looking for in EPUB 3, which is coming along, is the ability to be able to reconstruct the book at a much finer level of granularity. At the end of the day, all this is essentially a large browser with lots of content basically flowing either that way or down the page, whichever you want to go. So we can construct basically the content in the browser to be anything you like. Now, one of the things that we're working on, interestingly, in terms of next generation, can anybody tell me what's missing in any how-to book? How about the index? No ebook today produces has an index in it. Well, if it's there, it's clearly there for show anyway, because it doesn't link to a page. So one of the first things about interactive books that's going to make, can't remember who the question was asked in terms of academic books, but it's about putting an index, a proper index, back in a book. We're doing some work with MIT and Cambridge looking at the ability to be able to reconstitute the index, which is itself a science, from the index that was in the book, using semantic search technology to be able to index the book, be able to create automatic links. And by the way, when these move to, you know, a multi-page device rather than a single-page device, students could actually have a number of books open on their desktop, and that will be their desktop, and they'll be able to search through the books based on the linkages that could be linked up across the books. That would give a significant difference to the way you actually can use books to be able to do referencing and so on, because at the end of the day, 83% of books, by and large, are used exactly for that, for learning, for reference and so on. So I'm going to just finish basically with a... Oh, by the way, I know you all travel internationally, particularly the academics here. We are at Book Expo America in New York in a couple of weeks' time. Open invitation for any of you to come to the stand and get a demonstration, or maybe Guildford Research Park at Surrey University might actually be a bit closer for you. But I'm going to leave you basically with a quote from John Cotter, who was a Harvard professor, before that was CEO of General Motors, and he said there are three kinds of companies, and I've sort of adapted it for the publishing industry because I think it's very true. There are those companies that are basically going to make things happen, there are those that are going to watch things happen, and then there are those going to wonder what happened. Now, the good news, I think, for all of you is because you're here today, you won't be in the last category. But it is going to change absolutely everything. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're running slightly behind time now, but we will have some time for some questions. Who has got a question for James to begin? Here with, right at the back there, yes, please.
Stephen Harvey at Hartford Regional College. My background is in e-learning, so I've now moved from HG into FE. The question that I've got is that you said about what people can do. The books that I'm on, the books that I use, probably I buy them on as we do, but it's an app. So it's where does the app start and finish? Where does your e-book format start and finish? Where does your website start and finish? Because
It's a very complex question, and there is no simple answer. The app marketplace basically is, it fundamentally requires you to be able to take something and program in a solution. The challenge you will have for the volume is being able to do that really cheaply. So where I think it's going to actually work, now the first thing about it is that even in an app, you know, the iBook Store, for instance, on the iPad is an app. You know, it's just a very vanilla app, basically, for running an ebook. All the content pieces, basically, you know, the textual pieces, will essentially still be EPUB. What you will actually want to do then, basically, is build into that all of the bits that are neat in apps, you know, like the fact that you can process something. At the end of the day, an EPUB file is exactly that. It's a flat file. There is no intelligence in it whatsoever. So what you're going to see, I think, is an evolution of much more sophisticated, you know, let's not call them apps because they're not, you know, individually programmed. Let's not call them EPUB files because there's essentially no intelligence there. But what you're going to end up with is a much more intelligent browser-based solution, you know, essentially an application, which will be able to actually sort of produce, you know, a much richer experience for the reader. And it will be a combination of those two technologies. And, you know, they'll meet in the middle. You know, have we got a solution yet? Is there, you know, an off the shelf thing yet? No. But I think it will come, basically, and probably not too far away. We'll see something, you know, like that appearing in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. A lot of it's going to be driven, I'm afraid, by, you know, companies like Sony and, you know, Apple and the other, you know, tablet manufacturers producing much smarter interfaces that can actually cope with much smarter applications running on them. And then you're limited by, you know, battery length, processing speed, and all the other sort of fine things, which, at the end of the day, this is just really a flat computer. So,
at the back.
Kawe Mazagan from River Valley. Seems to be your process, you're taking work or part or in design, was it?
Yep.
You're going from, you've got a very clever system to take this, like these print media, and
yep,
put the semantics or the infrastructure back into it. Can I suggest that that's really, and we're doing that because Quark has been around for 20, 30 years, and it's really designed for print. It's the wrong way to do it. What you should be doing is, in future, the author should write, as you say, so that the semantics are there. XML is produced from that easily, and then from that you go to the page. If you want a double column, you want a single column, etc. What you're doing, I understand what you're doing, because that's the legacy stuff that we have. But it's really the wrong way around to get to the end result.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. You know, if you have an XML first strategy, basically, or XML early in your production process, then producing ebooks becomes a byproduct, basically, of that. There are several key problems. First of all, to produce an XML early strategy, you need XML. What's going to give you that? You know, producing your manuscript in Word, you know, can give you XML, but it's Microsoft XML, and trust me, it's not very clever. Second thing, basically, is you can get systems which will allow you to be able to use, you know, Hot Metal Pro and things like that to produce XML. The point of problem at the moment is if you only ever go to ebooks, then that would be fine. If you want to go to a mixture of ebooks and print, the problem comes actually in the production process, where you need to do little things called manuscript revisions. You know, what do you go back to start with to be able to put the revision in, then to reflow it back onto the page? And for, you know, books such as how-to books, where you've got sidebars and you've got footnotes and all that sort of stuff, it's really difficult. Nobody has cracked that problem yet. I know, because we've been trying for 12 years. So, you know, what we can do, basically, is take the current process, the current workflow process, and make it a heck of a lot smarter. You know, what you're talking about actually is really a next generation of publishing, which is starting, but is nowhere near, you know, the sort of level that people would need for creativity and layout and all those good things that they would want to see.
Okay, let's pull it to a close.